Welcome to The Clinic Cast, a conversational podcast dedicated to telling the stories of allied health business owners. And today we're joined by Angus Collins from Assuage Massage. Angus bought into Assuage Massage 2 years ago, and he shares his journey of moving Assuage into a new space.
I think we'll start by talking about what the podcast is about, right? Because we've been friends for a long time, and it's kind of an interesting point in our lives where, like, I've seen you start your business, you see me about to start mine on the side. But the idea, and honestly, you came into my head when starting this podcast, because I was like, oh, it'd just be so cool to tell, like, people, especially maybe of our age, and possibly like people who are younger and maybe people who are older, but I just feel like in our demographic of like this point in our careers where you get to practitioner level and you want to like go into business and stuff, going through your journey would be really useful for some people and talking. So I think the best place to start would be like talking about yourself as a practitioner and then maybe how you started going, oh, you know what? I'd want to do something a little bit bigger.
Practitioner? Like, should we go kind of from the very, very...
Yeah, I mean, like, why'd you do massage? Like, why not anything else?
The very beginning was, went like all the way through kind of school and doing like a lot of semi-elite sport and developed a really good relationship with my physio.
Like you were the athlete?
Yeah.
Played AFL?
Yeah, it was mostly baseball actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Really?
Yeah. Oh, did, like,
how do I not know that? Like, I always thought you were an AFL guy.
I am. but yeah, through especially kind of maybe 14 to 18, baseball was the sport that I took kind of most seriously.
What position?
Mostly pitcher or shortstop.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah,
couldn't hit to save my life.
I had an arm on you.
Yeah.
What kind of ball was like your specialty?
I had a really dirty slider of just
cool.
I had a, especially through like very early days, had a terrible throwing action from a biomechanical perspective, but incredibly effective at like fading away from a right-handed batter.
Dope.
So that was actually kind of the main reason why I stopped playing, because I just cooked the ligaments in the medial part of my elbow. Yeah, so I took it pretty seriously through to about like 18, and then just kept like didn't have the best, I would say, guidance on technique,
from a coaching perspective. And this was before like YouTube was around, where you could maybe YouTube a coach.
And anyway, so I spent a heap of time with my physio, who I still got a really good relationship with. She's great. She works down in Garran. Anyway, so became like really fascinated in the whole rehab process. Finished school, got to the end of that, didn't get the, I think at the time that it required like 96 or 97 ATAR to go straight into physio.
So you were thinking of going to physio?
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah.
And went, decided, no, we can't, can't get into it straight off the bat. So I have to figure out another pathway. I think probably got a little bit burnt out after school as well. So I actually had a gap year that turned into a gap 3 years.
Nice.
Which is awesome. Went and spent most of that overseas in Canada. But then came back, decided I was still keen on it, but was chatting with the physio, and her path was go and do the remedial massage course first.
And who is that through? CIT or
through
something?
CIT, yeah. And then use that as a bit of a, like, are you kind of interested in the industry? Like, it's not a massive commitment. Like, it was 2 years when I did it, but it was not a massive commitment compared to, say, a 3 to 4
bachelor's
to 5 year worth of physio study. So did that first with the, I think at the time, like, definitely the thought to progress or go and study physio after. finished it, jumped in, was like, oh, I'll work for a bit. Like, hey, need to make some money. But good to get a bit of industry experience. And yeah, just got, I think, quite lucky with landing at a couple of, two clinics where I just had pretty fantastic mentors. Was really, I look back on it and think, like, incredibly fortunate to land with those two people. Yeah, decided to kind of stay in it. Decided that I really liked the few, well, I mean, there's a handful of differences between remedial massage and physio, but the probably one that I enjoyed the most was the amount of time that you're kind of afforded to spend with your clients.
Yeah, because they're bigger consults.
So I was doing like minimum kind of 45 minute consults at the beginning, but often 60 or 90 minute consults, depending on obviously what they need. And yeah, as much as I love the puzzle solving of like injury,
diagnosis,
not diagnosis technically, you can't diagnose but investigation, and then rehab afterwards. Love that part, but didn't realize how much I was going to love the human connection component to it. And yeah, that was kind of what I think really cemented me staying in remedial massage rather than jumping back into more study with physio.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
And so then you were at two clinics. How did you end up at Assuage?
So, split my time across the two clinics for about 4 years. So Assuage being one of them. And then I guess fast forward to the end of that, those 4 years, I was absolutely dead set on moving to the Gold Coast.
That's right.
And I was going to go study osteo.
Yeah, that's right. I remember this.
Thinking that, like, for whatever reason, at that point, decided that seemed more aligned with my, the technical hunger of, like, what's the next progression on the technical information that you're trying to acquire. It was ready to go with that. And if it weren't for just a handful of other kind of peripheral life things, was definitely going to go.
And what did that pathway look like? How long was the osteo study for?
5 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
5 years.
Yeah. So I think it's, a 3 year undergrad, and then,
so it is a university degree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And then 2 years masters, but I think the undergrad basically means nothing if you don't do the masters.
Jesus.
Yeah, that was the impression I got.
That's
from
significant.
Yeah.
So it's longer than physio, essentially.
I think so. Yeah. 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 So I was super keen on that. Just a few things kind of came up that meant that it was just not the smartest choice at that, at that point. One of the big ones was it was right on the back of the massive floods that came through Tweed at that time, which was like 2021, something like that. And there was literally nowhere to move to. Plus, I felt kind of guilty if I was going to move up there and take away some housing from someone who actually probably needed a lot more than we did. So that was part of it. And then also partner, well, now wife.
How good. got married on a mountain.
She, like, almost simultaneously got a kind of job that was far more in line with her own kind of career progression that she had kind of was dreaming of. So a few things just meant, like, made sense to stay here. And
there's no osteo courses here.
There's no osteo courses, SCU up on the Gold Coast and Melbourne, RMIT, and maybe one other. I think are the only ones.
Yep.
There used to be one in Sydney. I don't think they run it anymore.
Sure.
Don't know about Perth. So it's contracted quite a lot. And then So when we decided we were gonna stay, about like 2 or 3 weeks later, Pete, old owner of Assuage,
said, "Hello, Pete.
Well, if you're staying, this is kind of where my head's at. I want to kind of move on. I've been in the industry for, I don't know, 15 plus years. Mm-hmm. He's been running the business for 12 at that point. He was ready for a new chapter. Mm-hmm. Are you interested in buying into it?"
Nice.
And that was not at all in the like the standard progression or the timeline that you kind of set out. It's like do the study, work within the industry, get the experience, and then way later look at business.
How much experience ownership do you think is in that timeline though of expectancy? Like a typical because you were out for like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
In physio, that's a similar time frame from like either people burning out or doing something. But I do understand the idea of experience being in the field as something that, like, you know, you feel like you need. Otherwise, it feels a bit impostery, right?
Mm.
To a certain degree.
Oh, it still feels impostery. You know, 3 years into the ownership. Yeah. But,
you've owned it for 3 years. Wow, time's gone so fast.
Nearly, yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
October, so.
So cool.
Yeah.
That's right, because you did own it when we were working together, didn't we? Mm. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So 3 years will be, be October.
Yep.
Definitely. I don't know what the answer is to like how many years experience or how much you kind of need, but I think in my mind, certainly at that point, I was like, well, I need to go, like I felt like I needed to go study further. Mm-hmm. So I guess I needed at least another 5 years of study and then probably multiple years of working as...
Before you got to this again.
Yeah, as an osteo or whatever the plan was going to be. Before even considering wanting to kind of step into the business ownership.
Mm-hmm.
So that was unexpected to have the opportunity, but pretty much just went like, how often do you really get an opportunity like this?
Mm-hmm.
Where you've got like a really small but like well-established business to be able to kind of carry on.
Mm-hmm.
And
so it has advantages in the sense that like client lists, you've already been working in it too, so you know how it works essentially, and your own established clients, its own brand name, location, all the PR media and stuff that kind of goes with that.
Mm.
So yeah, it is a probably a good stepping stone into the space, right?
Yeah. We and like with lots of discussions with Pete at the time, definitely skipped a lot of steps. So didn't have to go through especially because had a personally healthy client list at the time, but also the colleagues at the time, now still very much consider them as colleagues rather than
rather than as employees.
But they were all quite similar. And so, like, I remember actually saying to Pete, I was like, I feel almost guilty about not having gone through the grind, because in retrospect of having gone through something that was like adversity, essentially, like something that was really, really difficult, you kind of build the resilience of having experienced that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes A, it worth it, and B, you that much more effective at whatever challenge that you've kind of overcome to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, early days, feeling guilty about, like, I don't know, I've kind of, like, yes, it put us into a lot of debt, but I sort of bought my way in past all the difficulty.
Yeah.
And Pete, with his wisdom, was sort of like, don't worry, it'll come.
There will be adversity. You will have to push through it. Yeah. And he was right.
Yeah, absolutely. That was, funny. Like,
so did you hear, when he said that, do you reckon you took that on board? Or were you just kind of like, sure, I'd still feel guilty?
I probably, don't know, probably took it on board to a degree, but not... Mm-hmm. Like, not now to the point where I can retrospectively look back and go, yeah, okay, it was really right.
Yeah.
Rather than like at the time I'm like, oh, okay, yeah.
So what did the cost look like? Like, again, like it's significant. So you bought in with Pete or took over Pete. That's a financial cost, I assume. Mm-hmm. Then the transfer of the lease, the lawyers, and then the fit out, like significant costs, I assume, to then back up this decision as well. Like,
yeah. Yeah. So it was a big, big leap. And so how long? We were just over a year into owning the business when the opportunity to move across came up.
Mm-hmm.
So we're still like
reeling from the first purchase.
Still debts to pay at that point. But yeah, and a lot of discussions between Alicia and I, being like she's just as invested as I am in it. Kind of had to decide if it was worth the risk.
Well, you didn't really have a choice in my head, because you're getting squeezed for 6 to 9 months. You want to stay local, and there's only there's two areas you can go. So the foreshore, Kingston Shops, so is it in Kingston or the inner south? Maybe Manuka.
Yeah.
But like in that time frame, I mean, how long did it take to really get once the lease came, that period? Was it something that happened quite quickly? Were you in there within a month, or was it like a 3 month period?
It was about 3 months.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Because like that, in my head, when I hear that timeline, I'm like, I don't know if you had many options.
Yeah. It definitely, you're right. It didn't feel like we had...
Like it was a great option.
Yeah.
But timeline, I feel like, would have crept up pretty quickly.
Absolutely, yeah. And definitely at the time, it didn't feel like we had that many options.
Mm-hmm.
So like in hindsight, had I kind of searched harder, like there are commercial spaces available around that area. But it already had a fit out that was
similar.
Yeah. Like definitely needed a bit of a facelift, but didn't require a massive, like an entirely new fit out.
Yeah, it wasn't like just an empty box.
Exactly. Yeah. So it had a lot of the rooms already set up. So yeah, it like at the time I was like, well, this is great. I don't have to do a massive thing.
Cool. And so you bit that bullet, you've moved in, and before the building stuff, but how many therapists now, and are any of them like specialized in anything specific?
So we've got 6 working in the clinic at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
One specializes in, well, two specialize in manual lymphatic drainage, which, I mean, that has makes a lot of sense for us to be located where we are.
Mm-hmm.
Again, aging population, demographic around that area. We've got one that specializes in pregnancy massage, others that do it as well, but one that kind of really specifically targets it.
Mm-hmm.
And then a couple that are kind of more sports based. So we've got that kind of like...
Cool. Yeah. So a bit of a range of specialties. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, so there's six of them, no admin staff.
None.
So everyone does their own admin kind of work in terms of managing their bookings, or is that your job?
I'd say it's a team effort on that's like between myself and the individual practitioner. We definitely rely a lot on, our kind of clinic software at the moment to take the online bookings and that sort of stuff. But that is basically what we get out of the clinic software.
Yeah.
And then, otherwise it's like they do a handful of peripheral admin processes, answer the phone from time to time, but sort of take the lion's share of that.
Cool. So it's a bit of a team effort on the day, where it's not like one of them's coming in just doing their clients and then they're kind of out sort of thing. It's a bit different.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Yep.
All right. So you're in expanded a bit and everything's set up. Let's go through the building story, because this story is quite interesting. So how long have you had you been in the building before, been in the space before this happened?
So we moved in March 2024.
Yep.
Last year.
Checks the watch.
How long ago? And end of November of the same year. Yep.
So 8 months after you'd moved in.
Yep.
So fit out's done.
Yep.
Everything looks schmick.
Yep.
Everyone's up and running.
Yep.
Yeah. Debt is there.
debt is there. And the bulk of the fit out that we put a lot of time and investment in was really through the front half of the clinic. And yeah, end of November.
What does that mean by the front half of the clinic?
Oh, as in like, so enter through like kind of reception area.
Yeah, yeah,
So yeah, we.
The fit out was like the fancy stuff's at the front, or the more expensive stuff's at the front. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I understand.
Yeah. And yeah, so end of November we was actually the probably most frustrating part of this was I already have a fear, and I reckon a lot of small business owners, especially early days, would probably resonate with this, in that just the whole fear of not being there, and like the almost guilt of giving yourself the opportunity to go away for the weekend, even though we do have staff members that work
On the weekends,
across weekends, but it's like it is naturally a little bit quieter. But yeah, the guilt that comes with just deciding to go away, and so I don't think I'd had. I think this was the first time in probably close to 2 years that I really spent any time out of the state. And I was literally just up in Bowral for the weekend, and I got a call from, so my brother runs our kind of comms, basically, like all the internet, everything. He has his own telecom business. And he gave me a call and was like, oh, just noticed like your internet's dropped out. Yeah, I don't know what's kind of going on. Like, I've had a look at surrounding areas and everyone else seems fine, so it does seem like kind of located just to yours. I was like, oh, okay, like, I'm sure it's fine. No one's in there the next day. Like, no big deal. I'll deal with it on Monday. And he was like, okay, like, yeah, like, maybe still might be worth going and having a look. So not in the city. Cool. Call my sister and ask if she'd just do a drive by of the of the clinic, and she gets there and the entire reception area and a handful of the rooms heading back, the like the plasterboard mezzanine ceiling stuff had just fallen through because there was just stacks of water coming through. So it was a big storm.
Yeah. Something gone wrong.
Yeah. Something gone pretty wrong.
Yeah.
So water was just pouring through the ceiling. We're on the bottom floor of a 5-story kind of like it's all residential above us.
Yeah.
So it seemed strange for it to kind of be coming through our ceiling.
Yeah. Just a little bit.
But anyway, so very, very lucky.
Imagine what your sister's saying. Like, imagine the scene when you got there, just being like, oh my God.
Yeah.
He's going to hate. Like, making that call would be
hard.
Hearing that call would be hard because you're like, oh, I'm assuming it's going to be fine. Like, I just want some peace of mind while I'm away.
Yeah.
She's going to call and be like, oh, it's fine. Nothing's wrong here. And she calls back. She's like, it's not fine.
Yeah.
So what happened then? Did you rush back?
I was like, we gotta go.
Yeah.
I was like, only what, 3 hours or so away.
Yeah.
I need to go back.
Yeah.
I guess Alicia, in her wisdom, it's like, what are we going to do?
It's true.
It's already flooded. It's already flooded.
We're going to broom it out.
But yeah, like, exactly.
Middle of the night.
Yeah. And so...
It's still a hard night, though, for you.
Yeah. So she... but my sister and her boyfriend, they just kind of dammed everything up with, with like towels and everything, like quickly raced across, got some sandbags, also like...
Where did they get sandbags from?
Just Bunnings.
Oh.
Yeah. Like just got the sacks and, and some sand.
Good of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that pays to have
family nearby who can help and are willing to help.
Yeah. 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 Which again, this feels like a running theme, but like just having people that you can rely upon
for sure.
Makes a huge difference. Mm. And yeah, without it, like business probably fails even. Yeah,
absolutely.
So they kind of stopped the water from kind of getting to anything serious, like picked up all the electronics that were like, got some computers and stuff that just kind of sit on the floor underneath the front desk. Yeah. They got those out of the way.
Yeah.
Managed to kind of stop the rot. And then, it was just, like, clean up after that.
So who cleans that up? Who do you call? You call insurance?
Yeah, called insurance, called the landlord.
Yeah.
Called the landlord straight away. Mm-hmm. Called the body corporate.
Mm-hmm.
Body corporate, so like the strata company. Got landlord was like, just clean it or like try and stop the leak. And
it's not my leak. Like, what do you mean? It's coming from above. Someone's got to, the person above me should be stopping the leak.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't go into their apartment.
Yeah, yeah.
How am I supposed to stop the leak if I can't go into their apartment?
Also not in the state.
Sure.
So got them to, can't recall if I was the one that called the strata company or if it was
Alicia
or if it was the landlord.
Yeah.
I think it was me. I had the conversation because I was no idea what to kind of do in that situation. So I call the strata company and go get onto somebody and they go, oh, okay, well, do we need a emergency run out? If we do, just so you know, it'll be a whatever $250 call out fee. I was like, I haven't caused the.
It's not my money. I'm the victim. I'm not the leak. Yeah. I'm not the leaky root, like leaky four.
Exactly.
Like you find whoever. So that was the strata that said that.
Yep.
So they would know that somebody else isn't. But that you could just be like, it's the person above me.
Yeah.
And they didn't accept that?
They didn't accept that. I was like, well, if I make this call, if I say yes, please come and...
you take the cost
off. Do your emergency. Yeah. Like, do I get reimbursed for that?
Yeah.
Immediately, like, the cascade of different things that you're kind of... I'm already going, oh my God, what's this going to cost us just from a cleanup perspective? Mm-hmm. It's like... I don't want to afford another.
Yeah, absolutely.
Probably doesn't seem like a lot, but just kind of compounding costs. So I was like, oh, I don't know. Like at the moment, it's stopped making our space worse because we've managed to contain it into a space. I was like, well, it doesn't. I was like, I'm not gonna opt for your emergency call out because it was Sunday afternoon or whatever it was. So they eventually organised someone kind of following days to come have a look. Got a plumber to snake out the drain above and all sorts of stuff. I think I. the thing that I sort of really learnt or realised out of that is that the kind of polar opposites of the people that are around you as to how much they are willing to support you. Mm. So sister has a, I guess, emotional investment in making sure that things don't kind of capitulate.
Mm-hmm.
So she was willing to go above and beyond to help.
Absolutely.
Strata, landlord, basically anyone else who has no real skin in the game, don't really care, to be honest.
Or they don't want it to land on them, right?
Yeah.
Through that period, how many rooms, did you have rooms that weren't available? Did you have practitioners that you couldn't give work? How did it affect your bottom line?
So we had the front half of the whole shell space.
Yeah.
So that included the entire reception area, the first 3.5 rooms out of the six available. First 3.5 were like totally out of action.
Even by half. So it could work, but it wasn't good.
We ended up making one of them kind of just like a storeroom.
So, but you had three practitioner rooms.
Yeah, three practitioner rooms. Yeah. Well, it was four, and then we just kind of pivoted that to be a storeroom. So essentially three. Mm-hmm. Just out of action for, I think it would have been at least 2 or 3 months, maybe four.
So a 50% reduction in, generally speaking, in terms of
capacity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you do drop the wages, I assume, or was there some sort of, did you like have to give your staff like some sort of, retainer?
So none of our staff are full time.
Yeah.
Which is really normal within, kind of remedial massage.
Sure.
It's pretty standard.
Yep.
So it just required a lot of, schedule Tetrising, I would say. I'm kind of the only practitioner that does sort of full-time practitioner spacing hours. So I just moved all, like kind of completely changed my hours of availability.
Mm-hmm.
So that they like just do super early mornings or late evenings, weekends, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
So you went on every other available time slot that you could around your staff.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
your day turns from like, goes from like a 6 a.m. to like a 9 p.m. Kind of day.
Some days, yeah.
Yeah, wow.
And then that meant that it didn't have to impact. So I think we sort of mostly functioned out of two rooms for, 3 or 4, I'd say at least 2 months.
Yeah.
Very lucky that our space has a back door entrance.
Yep.
So we're able to kind of bring people through. Like that's also going past the laundry and the kitchen and
not what you want.
It's not exactly the
image you're giving.
The
this way is experience.
Exactly. In those moments, like really became so obvious the polarizing or the contrasting types of people that are involved in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
So our staff and clients were incredibly understanding, especially staff, like above and beyond in their
flexibility,
capacity to adapt and kind of just roll with what was a challenge for everyone.
Yep.
So that was a big part of why I was like, well, if I have the flexibility. The other thing is all of our staff members, for different reasons, can't be excessively flexible. So a couple of them are kind of primary carers of their kids, so they're really like quite restricted to
certain hours,
school hours only sort of thing. So again, like I can't it just wasn't going to work to go, hey, can you guys do an evening instead?
Sure.
Like,
So
it made a lot more sense just from the people who could have the capacity to be flexible. I was at the time.
Mm-hmm.
It just made a lot more sense.
And so you didn't lose any staff?
Didn't lose any staff. Nice. Not straight away.
Not because of that?
Not because of that.
Sure.
Yeah. Although I can't imagine it would have been super easy. We had to delay the start of someone mm-hmm. who was supposed to come on in like January. They didn't yep. start until April, I think.
Sure, okay.
And then, yeah, one who I can't, I wouldn't say like that was the like the one reason, but mm-hmm. I'm sure it didn't help, and so yep. they ended up moving on yep. sort of shortly after.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In terms of percentage of drop in terms of money coming in, what would you estimate it as?
It ended up being about 30%.
30% drop for 3 to 6 months?
About 3 months.
Cool. Yep. Even with all that flexibility?
Yep.
So if you had like permanent part-timers or full-time contracts and staff, this is a very different situation possibly?
Yeah. So we do have permanent part-timers.
Oh, sure.
And yeah, again, just it didn't. So really like the 30% drop mm-hmm. was nearly entirely from my mm-hmm. contribution.
Yep.
And like a huge part of that was just like I just had to be doing
other stuff
like sure. organizing trades and
to fix yeah. all the goddamn damage.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Did you get any sort of what's the term?
Rental abatement.
Yeah, that's what I was going to go with.
Yeah. And I guess this is about knowing the person that you're dealing with. Mm-hmm. I went early on like exercising my contractual right mm-hmm. on that.
Yep. And that's in the leasing contract.
Yeah.
Cool.
And that was unappreciated from being so litigious, apparently.
Right.
And I'll skip a very long and conflict heavy yeah, story. Sure. Yep. But it wasn't until I kind of emotionally appeased the landlord that it kind of shifted.
Right, okay. Yeah. And that time frame, did that drag out for a while?
Ages, four or five months.
To get that reprievement?
Yeah.
Cool. And then what did the percentages look like for that in terms of what you were paying versus what the reprievement was?
Off the top of my head, I honestly can't.
Did it get back reprieved? Like, did it get backdated at all? Was it just like from that 4 to 5 month, now we'll acknowledge it? Or did it go, no, we'll acknowledge the whole time?
I just set out really specific dates about, yep. and like specific dates, specific percentage of what I thought was fair and reasonable based on the capacity reduction for this amount yep. of time. So I was like...
And you had data to back that up. It's yep. not like you made making numbers up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Yeah. But it's funny, like this is the whole thing about like contracts, is that in hindsight, had I taken a much less litigious approach, mm-hmm. it probably would have been a more favorable outcome for me, but that's because of the specific person that I was kind of dealing with. And like with someone else who, I don't know, just does business differently, mm-hmm. That would have been entirely the wrong approach to sure. be casual or be yeah. Whatever about it. And yeah. like, they would have appreciated the like mm-hmm. very specific documentation of, yeah. So
what's the point of a contract then in that sense? It's like, cause you think about this when like the whole, like, especially in our experience, like your experience, my experience, like we haven't had a lot of experience with contracts. We deal with people face to face, right? And those kinds of things. But you assume that a contract is a piece of paper that's binding to a certain degree, and what happens on that contract generally would happen. Like, that's what it's there for. Mm-hmm. But then the interpretations of that contract can change, mm-hmm. and then other actions can come in that then maybe delay or change or have an influence on how that contract affects the situation, right? Mm. So I think there's a really big learning part there, as one of those tough life lessons, which really sucks for you. Mm. So got some respite in November. Mm-hmm. It's now July. Mm-hmm. Has it all been sorted, or is it still kind of going?
I would say we pretty much put a full stop on it in maybe May.
Sure.
Yeah.
Cool.
Having, well, when I say full stop in terms of like the the headache of dealing with, you personally moved on. Yeah,
in a sense. Yeah, because it sounds traumatic.
It's frustrating. It's very frustrating. It's very frustrating. More or less full stop in about May.
Sure.
End of April, maybe.
Cool. And in terms of total costing, how much do you reckon you lost out on this? How much did it cost you? By the end, like after everything's been, like insurance comes in and does this, even though I know that that's a whole other side of this, but after, it sounds like every single thing that could have delayed you or gone wrong in terms of those things that were set up kind of did.
Mm.
But once the everything's come in, were you at a loss?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. I would like, because there's some element of like intangible loss, i.e. like what was the business generation that could have come, what was what would it have been like to have that new staff member 3 months earlier, what would it have been like if we weren't so interrupting in the current staff members' lives, that maybe that affected exit, all that sort of stuff. So I think it's difficult to put a kind of a like an exact dollar amount on it. But yeah, no, definitely.
Didn't come out even.
No.
Yeah. Plus the emotional toll. Plus your own extra hours. You know? Like you really add it up. Even those extra things is like very significant. How much if you went back then and be like, oh, I'll take that pay cut to not have to think about this when I'll go through what I did.
Yeah.
It's significant. Hell of a story.
Mm.
I think let's hit some quick random questions. So let's think about yourself looking down this barrel from like 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Let's go back to like buying into, like wanting to go into the business of massage. What would you tell yourself back then?
I think embrace the naivety. I'd look back and think that there's a huge, like this, that seems like weird advice, but there's a lot of power to the not knowing.
Mm-hmm.
Had I known the difficulty and the depth of like just random things that you would not expect to have to deal with, you probably wouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think like there is, like that doesn't mean like don't do your due diligence, like research and be informed and do everything that you can be to be across kind of going into the into the pursuit of business ownership as much as you can. But I do look back and think like there was a lot of power in the not knowing, because you are naively ambitious and excited and I think that does give you like a advantage to almost roll with the punches a little easier. But like don't get me wrong, I was still sooking it up big time when shit went wrong.
But the proactive brain of being able to be like, oh yeah, I know things are gonna go wrong because I don't know what I don't know.
Yeah.
That kind of mentality, rather than like, oh, it's going to be fine. It's like, no, when you get punched, you're going to get punched, and roll with the punch because it's fine. You're going to get punched. Everyone's going to get punched at some point. You just got punched pretty early and pretty significantly. It's amazing that you're still here. Like the story that you told me and the way that the big reductions, hard in the rooms, like, yeah, you're right. If there's a key couple of things different there, maybe it doesn't go the right way. Mm. Embracing the naivety is pretty cool. That's an interesting hit too, and just like where that brainwave kind of sits, how you mentally approach something you've never done before and that you don't know about. That's a pretty good message, because anyone who's listening to this is then thinking about starting their own thing and thinking about this same imposter syndrome naivety thing. You're probably going to get punched, but embracing the punch, and learning from the punch. I mean, you got what you wanted. Like when you were like, I felt guilty. Do you still feel guilty now?
Nope. don't Not like that. Yeah.
That's brilliant. That's a great way to come full circle on this, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you might have brought it into existence. It might be your fault.
Careful. I can't...
Jinxed yourself.
Yeah. I can't remember specifically Pete saying careful what you wish for, but...
Something along the same lines. Yeah. Don't think about it.
Would have been pretty close.
Okay. Within 10 seconds, where do you see Assuage... Where do you want Assuage to be in 5 years? First thing comes to your
head. I want a busy clinic. I want a clinic that's got a lot of life in it. Mm-hmm. There's traffic and happiness that that kind of builds. It be a space that has an atmosphere of, just life.
Sure. Life in the business. Yeah, I get that. Third one, if you could be pro at any sport, what would it be?
AFL.
Nice.
Yeah.
Who would you play for?
I want to play for North Melbourne, although they're not going so good at the moment. So right.
I'm not an AFL guy, so yeah. Shout out to North Melbourne.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, thanks, man. That was a great story. I mean, I remember hearing this on the journey, so I had privy to the whole thing. But I think giving some people some ideas of what can happen in this space, and like while you said naivety, I heard relationships the whole way through, right? Mm. Relationships got you through, essentially. And business ownership is all about that. And I even think it comes back to you as a person, the way that you are with your staff. If you had a different ethos with your staff and how business happens, because it does happen, like there's different ways people run businesses. And if you had run yours differently, maybe the staff aren't as flexible. Maybe it's a little bit different. But it sounds like you've got a great support base and that you take care of people and then they take care of you when you need it. So that relationship's a twofold thing. So I think that that's definitely a part of how you're still in this space and thriving through it.
Mm.
I hope that the next chapter is less stressful for you, and you know it's a good learning curve, and you will have 100% have grown from this, right? It sucks so much, but you got punched pretty early, so maybe you don't get punched as hard later.
Mm. Yeah, you do. You need the challenge to have the growth. Otherwise, what's the point? What's the point in growing?
Nice.
Yeah.
Do you run a physio clinic? If you do, then you'll know the pain of administrative overheads. Clinic One is a brand new clinic management software that will turn overhead burdens into profits. The AI software is designed by a physio, so they know what key features are needed to help clinics not just survive, but to thrive. Use the interactive calculator at clinicone.ai to see how many thousands your clinic will save you per month. Sign up early for exclusive launch deals that will help kickstart your clinic expansion goals. Head over to clinicone.ai.